The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast. Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
What is going on, guys? You're listening to the HSP SmackDown Review on the WWE Unofficial Podcast. I am Jeff Martin alongside my tag team partner, the trendsetter Brian Berga, and we are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. You can follow us on all our social media at iSpot Podcast. Back once again to talk SmackDown. What are we going to do? What's going on, trendsetter? How you doing, man?
I am doing well. It is a beautiful day out there. Hope you guys will be enjoying the weekend as you are listening to this as well. Quite a show to end the weekend on SmackDown right now, and a lot of things have progressed in terms of storylines. We had to withstand the horror show at Extreme Rules. We got through that, and now, unfortunately, I must say, we had to get through this SmackDown because it probably wasn't the best ones as of late, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, guys, make sure if you're going to listen to episodes like this and enjoy us on the Unofficial WWE Podcast, make sure you also follow the High Spot Podcast, all one word, on our Twitter, Instagram. Also, check us out on YouTube. Give us a thumb up, a like, a subscribe, and also make sure you follow us on all platforms where podcasts are available. And I don't know, man. I was excited for the intros because here's the one thing. When you start off a show, you want to start off a show with some type of excitement. Last week, we had a Saturday Night's Main Event type of intro feel. It's kind of exciting. I like the way they built it up. Similar to this, but then when you start off the show, Jeff, with "Hello, my name is Jeff Hardy. I'm an alcoholic." I'm like, wow.
What a downer, man.
We're going that route. And, pity that's the main event, but that was what they were building to. So much for hyping us up for the show,
basically. And then JBL's decision on who he thinks is going to win this matchup. We will be on pins and needles the whole night.
Because if anybody knows about bar fights, it's JBL.
And the APA, of course. He's got history. Ron Simmons being in the APA, so of course we are on bated breath on who he's going to give the nod to winning this matchup, the main event, the long, highly anticipated bar fight between Jeff Hardy and Sheamus, and so much more to talk about, trendsetter. So let's start it out. What a way to open up the show! Now Bayley and Sasha, that obnoxious duo, comes out, and if you want now, guys. Guys, if you're going to college, if you're going, you know, if you're in high school or starting out now, if you're in elementary school, there's a new definition of greatness, and that is when you go into the encyclopedia. Do these people still do that? When they Google greatness, you will see the pictures of
the High Spot Podcast Jersey Wrecker. Oh, Bayley and Sasha.
And then you'll see the pictures of Bayley and Sasha Banks. They're doing their thing, trendsetter, and man, I'm telling you, man, they are just on a whole another level of obnoxious. But hey, they're doing their thing. They've got all the gold, and you know, they can back it up.
Yeah, all the gold and all the bragging rights, Jeff, of course. And again, you know, I gotta say, you love to hate them, and they're doing the job really well. Honestly, at this point right now, what was it? Maybe about a month ago on the High Spot Podcast, and especially on this show as well, we were talking about the fact of, all right, when's it going to happen? When's the turn that we've been anticipating for so many years eventually going to happen? And then Jeff brought up, and I also elaborate on the idea that, you know, you've reached this far with them, and now it's working so well. Why would you ever split it up, at least anytime soon? And they're the dominant force. I mean, basically, Sasha made that statement that the women's evolution is over, and they're basically the pinnacle of what the women's evolution has become because they're the dominant force in WWE. They are the tag team champions. They are the SmackDown and WWE Raw women's champion. They're dominating the whole division.
I mean, Charlotte's away right now with her medical procedure. You got Becky Lynch, who's going to have a baby. And right now, standing tall are Bayley and Sasha Banks. So good for them. And while we're going to talk about one friendship that's going to stay together for the foreseeable future, there's another friendship that could possibly not be dissolving, but they might be breaking on their own in just a little bit. We'll get into that as well. But another great promo with Bayley and Sasha. They got so much momentum. They're on every show now. They're on Raw. They're on SmackDown. They're on NXT. They rule right now the wrestling world as far as being a dominant team in Bayley and Sasha Banks. You got Nikki Cross comes out with Alexa Bliss. That dynamic duo comes out once again. Nikki, you know, after a loss at Horror Show, wants another shot at the title. But now the stipulation is that one that Bayley has made, when you're so powerful like Bayley and Sasha now are, you can make the rules that Nikki Cross is going to have to beat somebody in order for her to get that shot once again, and it's none other than Alexa Bliss. And to see Nikki Cross's reaction here and just putting that shot over her friendship with Alexa Bliss, kind of surprising, and it's kind of like maybe foreshadowing something, you know, in the very near future where it's going to be Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross that may not see eye to eye down the road.
Well, yeah, it's foreshadowing that, no doubt, Jeff. That, I mean, unbelievably, to think that the situation in terms of friends we thought were going to break up a long time ago is not the case. Like you said, they're stronger than ever. We got Alexa Bliss now. Nikki Cross has been literally the unprecedented, unexpected combination between those two. Nothing was expected of it, and it came out to be what it is now. Now, granted, it's nothing like Sasha and Bayley, but when you're looking at it now, that seems to be now rupturing, and this obsession now that Nikki has, because let's be honest, Bayley's had championship gold. She is the champion. So has Sasha. So has Alexa Bliss, very successfully had gold. First ever woman to win a title on SmackDown and Raw. First woman to do that. And she's no stranger to championship gold and championship reigns. Nikki hasn't had that. And you can now tell the obsession is overwhelming her so much that she's willing to throw her friendship aside just to get another shot at it. And, you know, she was lacking confidence before. Now it seems like she's so desperate and so much obsession that now it doesn't seem like it's going to be anything in terms of lack of confidence, maybe lack of self, because she's losing herself in this obsession of becoming the champion. But, yes, you know, let's take a moment, though, before we dive any further into it, but just appreciate a little bit of Alexa Bliss, if we may.
Another Alexa Bliss moment.
Oh, yeah. That was all right. So was Alexa Bliss.
And she has the audacity to push Alexa Bliss down.
I felt so bad. I instinctively wanted to get up and somehow go through that TV screen to help her up. Because it just seemed wrong that she was pushed down to the ground. Yep. It was.
So we get a one-on-one match between Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss. This was a really good match, man.
Yeah.
They got a lot of time. And both of them did a great job. And you know, what can you say? I mean, it's really, you know, good job by both female competitors. And if you give them time, trendsetter, hey, they might surprise you.
Yes, but if that wasn't good enough, we also had to get Sasha and Bayley on commentary, which seems to be now literally a weekly thing with them. I think it's their spot. Again, they do it very well. But, hey, yeah, giving the women some time here. Definitely got a couple segments in there. But, yeah, Nikki and Alexa did a really good job. And ultimately, you kind of saw the foreshadowing of where it was going in terms of who's going to get the shot. It would have been nice if it was Alexa, but Nikki gets it. She defeats her friend. And now there's a look on Alexa's face in terms of, not that she's doubting herself, but now she's probably questioning the motives. Is like, okay, well, now you're obviously in this mindset of being a singles champion, so now where do I go? And I think eventually we'll find an answer to that too. But, you know, it's a given now. Nikki and Bayley will go back again one-on-one for it. But you got to think, if Nikki doesn't get it this time, then that's it for her.
So basically, Alexa Bliss got to taste her own medicine, because Alexa Bliss is the person who normally will, you know, do anything, whatever it takes to win. And Nikki Cross used those cracked ribs as she fell in a crossbody to hit Alexa Bliss. And then, you know, she played it up. She played up hurt. Alexa Bliss was compassionate and gave her a little bit of time, too much time. And with an inside cradle, next thing you know, Alexa Bliss is like, wow, Nikki Cross has got the title opportunity. And I guess it's touche, because Alexa Bliss might have taught Nikki Cross a little too much that, you know, no harm, no foul.
But what do you really think about that? I mean, we've spoken about before when it comes to certain individuals are just good heels. I think Alexa is amazing as a heel. I do like her as a face, but I think she's a little more naturally set as a heel. Is it weird to see this version of Alexa Bliss now where you just said she's compassionate for her friend that was ribs?
I think she's going to look in the mirror and say, I don't like who I am. I think she's you obviously have seen her vulnerability, which is Nikki Cross. She has a friendship with her, and I don't think it's going to last too long. I think that congratulations that Nikki Cross was given to by Alexa Bliss after the match, I think, hey, you know what? It's Alexa Bliss acknowledging, hey, you got the best of me, and now you got to concentrate on your championship match next week. But I just I find it hard to believe that Alexa Bliss is liking who she's coming out, who she's coming out to, who she's turning out to be, because that Alexa Bliss, it just won't go anywhere. And like we said last week, the week before, we better get a Alexa Bliss heel turn, because she's better as a heel. She just really is. And she's not going to accept this much longer, because this is not who she truly is. She's not compassionate. She's not, forgiving. It's not in her, and eventually we'll see that. I got
to
believe
that. Not just that. She just seems the kind of person that takes the backseat to anybody, basically. So, yeah, eventually at some point, she wants the limelight again. I think she'll eventually get it.
You know, another thing, too, here is we got a SummerSlam promo, and I totally forgot that SummerSlam is the next pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I really did. Summer's going by really fast, man.
And we found out not too long ago, too. I'm sure a lot of people saw in the Twitter sphere out there that basically, it's not going to be in Boston, Massachusetts, where it was originally destined to be, and they're planning on doing a two-night scenario similar to WrestleMania.
Two nights?
Yeah, a two-night event similar to WrestleMania, but not sure of where it's going to be held, but we can all kind of tell right now. It's probably going to be held back in the Performance Center. It's where every event has been since WrestleMania, and there's no doubt in my mind it's going to be there again for SummerSlam.
Yeah, I mean, you had to expect this. Mm-hmm. We're still not clear with this COVID. The people warning us that in October we're going to get hit again with the onslaught of this. I mean, baseball's back at least. We're getting the sports back, but still to have crowds, in a large mass is still not something that's going to be, in the foreseeable future. So, again, we're going to have to bite the bullet here, and SummerSlam most likely will be in the PC. But it was just weird seeing SummerSlam as the next event because, man, the summer's going by so freaking fast, Trendsetter. It's ridiculous, man. Where is the summer going? I'm not ready for SummerSlam. I'm not ready to prepare for the end of the summer. And, that's the biggest event of the summer is SummerSlam for WWE. But usually that
especially
closes
with this winter, as long as it's been here in the Northeast, man, in the metropolitan area, it's been brutal. So I can go with summer going a little bit longer than what it is now. But you're right, SummerSlam, the biggest event of the summer, it's not going to be in Boston anymore. But again, it also reminds us that we are so close now towards the end. I believe we're going to be in August pretty soon. It goes by fast.
And, to keep the talk on women's wrestling, and last week we were talking about Naomi's situation where we saw her future role in WWE, and we didn't paint a bright picture for it. And then this past week, there was a hashtag, Naomi deserves better, and basically the fans were just like all saying, hey, we support you, Naomi. You really should be in a much better place as far as on the women's division than, losing in a karaoke contest to, Dana Brooke, Lacey Evans, and it just shouldn't happen. These things shouldn't happen for you. And it got people talking, and it was a talk of, the wrestling world for that week. And even Booker T chimed in saying, hey, listen, no hashtag is going to help you. You need to do the work. You need to get noticed. You need to do it yourself, which kind of got some backlash. But you know what, though? So Booker T really shouldn't be able to commentate whatever he says. He shouldn't really express his opinion. It's an opinion, man. Hard work will get you noticed. You got to make yourself noticeable. You have to do something that's going to get you in the eye of WWE creative. And that's
and the biggest thing people miscomprehend when Booker T says something like that is the fact that, that's insulting. Like, she has been working hard. I mean, I'm sure Naomi will be the first one to tell you she works tremendously hard every single time she's out there. But here's the difference, though. There's a difference, in my opinion, between working hard, working smart, as they tell us in layman's terms, us as fans and civilians. When you talk about the world of professional wrestling, it's one thing about working really hard. It's another thing about working hard to the point of getting noticed. And at this point right now, as hard as she's worked, unfortunately, she has nothing to show for it. So how hard really can you go? What have you really done to get yourself out there? Now, a lot of people complain about creative. I know that always seems to be an excuse, but at some point, you can't always use that as an excuse. If you don't like the situation you're in right now and it's creative, it's holding you back, and nobody's giving you attention, nobody's giving you an eye of listening to you, then maybe it goes back to a long time ago, John Cena saying out there, yes, John Cena, the guy that we couldn't stand on SmackDown, made SmackDown what it was until AJ came around, but also said, too, you have to take a chance. You have to take a risk. And a scenario like this, in the situation we're in right now, obviously with the pandemic and things not being as available right now, you have to take that risk because you know what? You're in a situation, if you're not going to get noticed now, for as long as Naomi's been there, and she's been there for quite a while, Jeff, if she's not going to get noticed now, then in my opinion, it's never going
to
happen.
Yeah, and that was the point that Miz said to Naomi on Miz TV alongside hashtag give Morrison a chance in my eyes, too, is that basically she might have peaked at WrestleMania in Orlando, where that was where she became the SmackDown Women's Champion, that maybe that was the point of contention where that's it. That was it. That's the best you're going to get at a Naomi. And you know what? As of now, that's all you're going to get. We haven't seen any progression. She's been hurt. She's had to take some time off. And so we'll see what happens. But what we're getting is, we're getting a rivalry between Lacey Evans and Naomi. Mm-hmm. So that could be something interesting, trendsetter. And she comes out. She's a special guest of Miz and Morrison. And basically, she made the same point that maybe she has peaked already, which really didn't, you know, enough is enough, obviously, for Naomi, and she couldn't stand it. And then she gives Lacey Evans a push, and how dare she push her while she's putting on her makeup. I thought that was just a woman's no-no, that you don't do that to somebody else. That's just crazy.
I could definitely hear Vince laugh in the background. That's hilarious. Look at all that lipstick smeared on her face. She looks like a clown. But yeah, I mean, again, that's the point. How dare you shove somebody who's put on their makeup? I guess it's the equivalent of punching somebody who has glasses on. You never do that, right? But yeah, I mean, I don't know where this is going to go in terms of, you know, I mean, we're seeing the direction it's going in. But right now, I don't know how much benefit it's going to have for Naomi. I think it's going to benefit Lacey a little bit more because, you know, she was kind of a face early on and, you know, challenging the likes of Sonya Deville and kind of fighting for the locker room. And now turning this heelish persona because of what, karaoke? It's kind of weird. But again, it's a variety show in a sense. You know, some people will like it, some people won't. At this point right now, I'm not trying to critique in terms of entertainment value, but more of like, okay, where are we going and what direction can we take Naomi? What direction can we take Lacey? And I think Lacey, for the mere fact that I've seen her dramatically improve in the ring, she's really owning that character. I think right now it can only have positives for Lacey, and unfortunately, I don't think Naomi will get anything on the good side of this.
Yeah, obviously, Lacey was better heel, too.
Yeah, no, of course.
She's much better as a heel.
Yeah, to my point before, some people are just really good at that, and she is.
Yeah, they realized that they probably had made a mistake of giving Lacey Evans like a face push, because to me, right now, she was killing it as a heel, at least. And we even talked in the match where she was getting actually better, right? And then all of a sudden, she like changed persona, changed to a baby face. So, it's so much easier to be a heel, though. You know what I mean? It really is. It's easier to get that heat and stuff like that. So, we're probably most likely going to get Naomi versus Lacey Evans down the road. And Miz TV, Miz and Morrison are basically... just become...
Give me your 2 cents on that.
They have just become antagonists and just pushing the buttons and trying to stir trouble, and that's basically a trendsetter. And I mean,
they're in junior high when they talk to each other.
I guess that's what they're going with. If they like it and they have no issues,
I wish you guys could
so
see Jeff right now. He's shaking his head as he's talking about Miz and Morrison. Right,
especially
now.
Morrison, man. Like, this guy is so freaking good, and he's just, I don't know what he's talking about sometimes now. Well, he's looking for all these hashtags for John Morrison, and you know what's trending, and the Miz is trying to offer him some. It's just, oh man, you know what? It's just something like,
listen, head shaking. I know, like, you're shaking your head. I understand your frustration.
Who's sharing these ideas and who's saying that? Oh, this works. I don't understand.
Especially with
man.
Morrison too. But hey, if it makes the boss laugh and the boss finds it entertaining, I feel it's good to go. You know, every single person has to find their niche. You can't always be the badass. You can't always be the cookie-cutter good guy. You always have to find your ability of what sets you apart from everybody else. Similar to the interview they have with Naomi, you have to set yourself apart. You have to be noticeable. And right now, as much as you and myself and maybe the crew, maybe some of the crew likes it, maybe some of the crew doesn't. Maybe some of the members of the crew think, you know, Morrison should be given a different role within the company because he is so talented, as you said. And Miz, just so obnoxious, plays that so well to a T. Maybe it's just this is their niche. Maybe this is the niche in terms of where they just find themselves in terms of separating themselves from the rest on SmackDown. And as unfortunate as to say,
this is their
that's
niche.
Just reality.
I'm not scratching it.
I only scratch with a 10-foot pole myself.
No. But something that I'm actually going to Barry Horowitz tapped myself on the back for, pat myself on the back for, is simply that we talked about the New Day splitting up, and you had a lot of reports like Kofi and Xavier Woods kind of saying like, well, you know, can we actually be applauded that we are sticking together? Like, nobody really sticks together anymore. That's really something that's not done. Usually are paired together, and it's inevitable that you will eventually, you know, move on, turn on each other, have rivalries amongst one another, compare and contrast who's had the better careers, right? So Kofi Kingston wants us to believe that, you know what, sometimes it's not all good to split up and stuff, and sometimes the point of emphasis kind of like disappears from somebody once you have a group kind of separate, which is true. But on SmackDown this week, Kofi's out for 6 weeks with an injury, and Xavier Woods is still not healed with his Achilles. So what does that open the door for? Big E has gotten the blessing from the New Day to go on and find singles success, trendsetter. And the way Corey Graves and Michael Cole led us to believe that, you know what, we're going to find out down the road shortly just how successful Big E can be without the New Day. And that is something that we've talked about since we've started this show here on the WWE Unofficial Podcast. And now it's going to come true. Big E is going to get his opportunity. And you know what? I think he's going to be successful. It's going to be interesting to see if he's going to still keep that New Day persona. Are they going to tweak a few things? But Big E is going to get his chance now.
How does it feel, Jeff? How does it feel?
To be right all the time? God, you know what? It feels good.
Not just being right, though. How does it feel to me, your fact that this is something that you've been saying for the longest time? Let's break up the New Day. Let's change it. Now, they're not necessarily broken up in the sense that, you know, when Kofi, quote-unquote, heals from his injuries and Xavier Woods back to 100%, doesn't mean the New Day can reform, not including Big E. The New Day can reform now with Xavier and Kofi if that's the direction they want to go. Now we have Big E. The New Day is no more for right now, at least, because Kofi's going to be off TV for a while, or at least that's the storyline they're going with. Big E now gets his opportunity, his shot. He had it before early on. When he came from NXT, he started off as, you know, working with Dolph Ziggler. Then went in a singles competition. A lot of people didn't know who he was. Wasn't successful. Started the New Day. And the New Day really helped form the persona and the abilities that we've seen in Big E have, which I'm sure were noticed in NXT, but now noticed even more. Has a single shot now. We're going to see where he goes with it, where they go with it. But how does it feel that finally it's over? The New Day, for now at least, is done.
Like I said, I was never against the New Day. I think they've been so entertaining, but sometimes you just need to put a little pause on something,
really?
Right?
You could have surprised me, Jeff, when you were like,
No. I was not with the New Day.
That's what you were.
It was more like, you know what, let's take a little time out. You know, let's take a little time out. And even though Big E was a little hesitant at first, he got Kofi's blessing, and now he's a peacock, and he's going to go fly. Mm-hmm. You know, it's time. It's time to leave the nest. It's time to stop being complacent, Big E, because you are bound for bigger and better things. And then what happens when you put something to the side, Trendsetter? What happens when you put like that? Doesn't the heart grow fonder for that when it comes back? Right?
You think so, yeah.
Yeah. So when they come back, when they return as a whole complete unit, then we will be happy. Hey, the New Day is back. But now, let's just enjoy Big E and see what his run is going to be. And I think it's going to be a successful one.
What do you think in the scenario here? I mean, we've seen him with an Intercontinental title run, wasn't successful. You think that's the first stage for him to kind of put him in the IC title run?
That would be cool because he's going to be a face.
Or could you immediately see him in the Universal title run?
Either or. I would put him in the IC title picture. I think him and AJ would do a great job. It's such a contrast in styles. It's no pun intended. And it's power versus agility versus high flying versus, speed. So it's going to be really interesting to see what would happen there. And if you want to put him in the world title picture, whenever Braun comes back, that would be also interesting too, because you have a powerhouse in Braun, a powerhouse in Big E, and man, hell, I would love to see that match, man. Put that one at SummerSlam, and I'm down for it. But the problem is,
Braun's still stuck in the swamp.
He's still stuck in the swamp. Yeah, say that again. Hashtag Braun's still stuck in the swamp. And from the latest installment of Firefly Funhouse, you know, we don't know exactly where the Universal Champion is right now, but we know that it's not Bray Wyatt's time, it's The Fiend's. And we definitely heard the emphasis on it's The Fiend's time this past Firefly Funhouse, Trent Sutter.
Isn't, to me, Bray Wyatt is literally like the three faces of Foley.
Yeah.
He's the three faces of Bray Wyatt, in my opinion. And I can't give any more credit to Bray and the amazing job he's done with all three of these characters. But how annoying is that? Bray Wyatt did all the work. And the Fiend is not going to take all the glory. No, but this is something we anticipated. We thought it was originally going to happen after Bray had lost to Braun for the Universal title. Then you saw Bray Wyatt come back. Like, whoa, okay, so are they not giving any more attention to the Fiend? And lo and behold, they are. And then this is something that we all anticipated was going to happen. And now it's going to. And then, you know, as the weeks go by, there'll be more talks of, you know, what happens? Do you put the Fiend over? Do you put Braun Strowman? What's going on in the scenario? Who does it hurt? Who does it help scenario? We can dissect that later on. But, yeah, something we have anticipated that was going to eventually happen, it has. And through that cinematic fight that we saw at Extreme Rules to now building it up now, I think Bray Wyatt... I honestly feel Bray Wyatt's kind of really built up and repaired some of that destruction that was done when he lost to Goldberg. And I think he's really kind of repaired that and rebuilt it to all credit given to him. But now the scenario comes, you know, Braun Strowman couldn't defeat Bray Wyatt in his element, but now you're going to face
the
Fiend.
This is so confusing. I mean, it's so confusing because you got Bray Wyatt, you got the Fiend, you got Firefly Funhouse, Bray Wyatt. But the main important thing here is that Bray Wyatt has basically built up Bray Wyatt that he can put Bray Wyatt back in the back burner. Try saying that 500 times fast.
Yeah.
And now it's, you know, the Fiend is unleashed. So now when he needs to go back to the Bray Wyatt character, that's going to be somebody like, whoa, this guy just, like, put away, you know, Braun Strowman. So, I mean, it's interesting to see. I wasn't really a fan of the match after seeing it. It was, like, okay. I expected a little bit more, but... Yeah, it really built up, though, this, like you said, the three faces of Bray.
Yeah, try to say that three times fast,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah,
but no,
I almost fell flat on my face there.
Yeah, no, it would be the first time. But, yes, it just showcases the talent of Bray Wyatt and his ability to just kind of go from character to character so well, so seamlessly as well, too. And, yeah, I think it's building up for the fact that they're really trying to help rebuild not just Bray Wyatt but the character of the Fiend. And now we'll see where it goes from here. But, interesting the aspect of what direction they're going to go. Got a feeling it might be towards Bray right now because through no fault of his own, you know, Braun has not been the, quote, essential kind of champion they've wanted him to be. Again, I think he's a better heel than a face. So we'll see where it goes down the road. But now we know that's eventually going to happen. And, you know, Braun, wherever he is now, better get ready because the Fiend is nothing to toy with.
It's very funny that we've... This whole show basically said that this person is better as a heel.
Yeah,
they're really having a lot of trouble making faces.
They are,
on that show.
I mean, they really are.
We just said a bunch of people that are good as a heel, yet no one here is like a really legitimate face that you would want to go see get that victory over that heel. Because
except AJ Styles, he's a neutral guy.
Well, I mean,
because you hate him as a heel because he does these heel tactics, but goddamn, you love him, respect him for what he does because you know he's that good.
Yeah. And he was on guest commentary for a Fatal 4-Way match between Drew Gulak, Shorty G, Grand Metalik, and Lince Dorado because the winner of that one will get an opportunity at the Intercontinental Championship against AJ Styles, the face that runs the place. And it was a pretty good match, Trendsetter. It was a really, really well-done match, and Grand Metalik will now get the opportunity to face AJ Styles, but it was a really, really good match.
It was a really good match. Fatal 4-Way sometimes can get kind of messy. Guys, all of them worked really well together, but I kind of felt bad. And I felt bad because I felt bad for all four of these guys because it was just pointless. It was irrelevant that neither one of them, all four of them even together, couldn't come close to what AJ Styles brings to the table. So to me, it was just kind of a pointless move because, like, you know he's not going to win.
Yeah.
He's not even the same category as AJ Styles.
But it's good, though, because it's the land of opportunity. So I really thought Shorty G
won. No. The land of opportunity is a stupid thing that Daniel Bryan came up with. And even being even a bigger hypocrite now, it was even a hypocrite then. Because back then with Shane and Daniel Bryan running stuff, it wasn't the land of opportunity. It was the same scenario we've seen millions of times again, right? One guy gets a title shot. He'll get a second, a third, a fourth, and a fifth. What opportunity is that? You got your shot. Move on. Get in the back of the line. Give somebody else an opportunity. But no, because Daniel Bryan's a fighting champion. First of all, he's a hypocrite and a terrible GM. And secondly, in terms of him being a fighting champion, Dan Bryan, you know, again, just he's burying himself under his own argument. And the scenario here with Grand Metalik, congratulations to him. An amazing fatal four-way, but it's irrelevant because, you know, you're going up against AJ Styles, probably one of the greatest Intercontinental champions of all time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I can't argue with you there. So basically, it's just the fait accompli that, you know, Grand Metalik is not going to beat AJ Styles when they face off against each other. And then towards the end, AJ Styles goes to shake his hand. Grand Metalik is a little reserved and then gets slapped for it. But then...
And that's why he got slapped in the face.
Grand Metalik gets the last laugh, though, because he slaps the taste out of AJ and kind of, you know, says, hey, listen, I'm coming for your IC title, pal, and we're going to get that match. And I don't believe that it's not going to be a good match. It is going to be a heck of a match here. And it's going to get a chance to, if anything, it's going to showcase Grand Metalik because, I see Lucha House Party and I'm thinking, okay, these guys are whatever, but he's very talented. I mean, you saw it in the ring in that match. He's very talented and AJ is going to get the best of him and it's probably going to be the match of the night whenever they decide to wrestle on SmackDown.
Yeah, we saw Grand Metalik the first time during the Cruiserweight Classic, which seems like decades ago, right?
Yeah.
And we saw how great he was there. He made it all the way, I believe, close to the finals. I can't recall. But made it close, I believe, to the semis. And now, in this scenario, I think he was in the finals. And now in this scenario, too, now having a chance to work with AJ, like I said, no doubt, and I agree with you, very rarely, but I agree with you here, no doubt it's going to be an amazing match. And again, that's what you want. You want a champion who's credible enough to carry that Intercontinental Championship. You want competitors that are believable enough to challenge for that Intercontinental title. And that just creates the dynamic in terms of bringing back prestige to a title that has lacked it for so many years. But again, gives that importance right now because when you look at it, a champion like AJ, and again, and this isn't me being a character anymore, guys. This isn't me being me. When you look at a guy like AJ.
You're playing a character?
Yes, believe it or not. You know, shh, don't tell anybody. Break the fourth wall. Hi, Colt Cabana. Yeah, when you see a scenario like this, it's just an amazing showcase of how important it is to put the title on the right person. But then back to the same thing that I'm sure a lot of people, especially the crew, have heard many countless times. It's the title that makes the man or the man that makes the title. And AJ right now makes the Intercontinental Championship more important, in my opinion, guys, and tell me if you agree, makes it more important than the Universal title.
Yeah, I mean... It is going to be more important now, depending on how long Bray Wyatt, how long Braun Strowman stays out of commission, how long, if they can find him in the swamp, the IC title should close the show whenever they fight for it. And probably going to be next week or the week after, but I really think that that would be the main event. And so we finally get that long anticipated JBL prediction, and he picks Jeff Hardy, and we get Jeff Hardy versus Sheamus in a bar fight. And I tell you, man, hey.
Pretty crappy bar, if you ask me.
Well, I mean, it was empty. It was empty and...
Due to social distancing,
now, I guess.
Now, here's the thing, too, right? We're all about social distancing, right? That bar was open. How in the state of Florida did they allow it to happen? Because bars are closed. The cases have increased in Florida. How did they allow that bar to be open?
Well, I would just
answer me that, Jeff.
It was just open to Jeff Hardy and Sheamus.
Still.
And
a bartender was in there. The same bartender that got knocked out by Jeff Hardy a couple weeks ago.
At the establishment called the Irish Shenanigans. And I thought it was going to be the Friendly Tap, but I guess that closed
down. I thought it was going to be called the Blue Oyster.
Okay, let's guys, if you haven't seen Police Academy, we probably dated ourselves at how old we are.
It doesn't matter.
Check
it's a
out
great movie.
Police Academy.
Check it out. You know what we're talking about.
Definitely. Blue Oyster has the best.
But Shenanigans, come on. That's got Bruce Pritchard humor written all over it.
Blue Oyster has the best seafood bar in the land. JBL, man. Really going on a limb here picking Jeff Hardy. But hey, we saw Brother Nero towards the end make an appearance. I thought that was Brother Nero. And with a Swanton Bomb, as only Jeff Hardy can do, off a ladder onto the floor, hits Sheamus.
Bar still wasn't high enough. Had to get a ladder.
He gets the 1-2-3, and mercifully, I believe, that this rivalry is over. But it's WWE. It's they might want to prolong this. They want to make this a best seven series. I don't know.
Oh man, I hope.
But it looks
not.
Like really it, because do. They have some fascination. Because they got to get three matches out of Edge and Orton. I was reading, and yeah. You know, it's not my place, whatever like that, because it's not Raw. But I'm reading that they want to put the strap on Orton at SummerSlam against McIntyre, so that they can make it a world championship match between Edge and Randy Orton. Mm-hmm. I'm like, God, what is WWE's obsession with these veterans, man? The Big Show and Randy Orton got the worst rating ever, yet these people want to kiss Randy Orton's ass and say he's the best ever guy that's ever wrestled, who's ever put on a boots and stuff like that. Give me a break. It's not true. I don't want to see Edge and Randy Orton again. You don't have to, but we got to get three matches out of this. We got to get three. Edge... We talked about when he first started on High Spot Podcast, Edge should be putting over guys. Edge should be fighting AJ Styles. Edge should be fighting these new guys, whatever like that. Randy Orton and Edge, give me a freaking break. And that's what they want to do. They want to – Vince McMahon now is back at this, and we want to put the veterans in the forefront, and we're getting this stuff. And, I'm, you know, that's just – that just set me off. It just set me off. And give me a break. Randy Orton is not – is not the second coming of the greatest wrestler of all time. That is such BS. He to me, mailed it in 10 years ago and went, oh, Randy Orton, because he does these great promos. Oh, give me a break. That matchup at WrestleMania was a snooze fest. Snooze freaking fest, okay? I don't need to see Randy Orton for the 30th time against Edge, and that's just my two cents on that.
No, I mean, I nobody can hold that against you, honestly. I'm sure there'll be people that'll be disagreeing on that, but let's be honest too. That match WrestleMania went extremely long.
30 wrestlers better than Randy Orton.
It was good. It was a good match. And then the scenario, the greatest wrestling match ever. Okay, it was a good match. I'm not gonna say it wasn't, but then you know, honestly, the greatest wrestling match ever. I doubt that. Big Show, Randy Orton. Okay, whatever. I mean, the ratings are the ratings, and you know the numbers speak for themselves. Unless you're a wrestling die hardcore fan. And in terms of Jeff saying he's mailed it in, now here's the thing. I would kind of agree to a point that he's mailed it in to a certain degree because, honestly, there's nothing for him, and he's kind of done a lot. So at the point you run the scenario, especially when you're a veteran, you reach a certain point, like, what more is there that you can do? But, you know, I have to say that Randy Orton's work has been getting better and has been good in terms of being intriguing. But the outcome of the end result of what happens in the ring is something to argue about, something to you know, if it's not your cup of tea, it's not your cup of tea.
Because the bar fight was what it was in Snooze Fest, and because Matt Riddle and Tony Nese really doesn't entice me that we can move past it, and the only thing that we got out of that is a King's Ransom between Matt Riddle and Baron Corbin. Wow, yeah, yeah. Be like, this is something that you guys really want to hear. We're going to talk about this because this to me is more important than what happened on SmackDown. You know, you saw it. Matt Riddle defeats Tony Nese. There's a bounty now on Matt Riddle. So, boom, we've recapped your SmackDown, right?
Yeah.
You're right. So now we go to this, and here's my thing, Trendsetter. And this is just out of the blue. This is a spontaneity that you can get here on the SmackDown Review, Trendsetter. And that is simply this, Trendsetter. We praise Randy Orton, like, oh, this is the best. He's supposed to be on every single time. We're like, wow, this is the best Randy Orton, because that's what he does. When he gets bored, he gets complacent. When he has nothing to do, you know what I mean? He's not, he doesn't give it his all. So that's why I can't go gaga over Randy Orton and say he could be the greatest of all time to do it. These people that just kiss his butt, that have a bigger platform than we do. People in the WWE, Ric Flair, for God's sakes, Ric Flair, I can't take you seriously when you're saying that Randy Orton he's smooth. Yeah, you know, he is smooth. I will give him credit, he is good, but I can't say he's the greatest when he's complacent and whenever the hell he feels like it, oh, that's when I gotta show up. Oh, yeah. When I take on Edge, oh, that's when I'll be, you know, that's when I'll be the Randy Orton.
It's coming from Ric Flair, who said that AJ Styles is one of the greatest wrestlers out there, and that's
what
Randy Orton is
too. Oh my
God, so, you know, everybody's the greatest wrestler that ever lived, basically.
No, but I mean, the love and the praise on Randy Orton is just sickening to me, man. He is, I can give you 30 wrestlers and I'll tweet out that are, to me, better than Randy Orton. Randy Orton, to me, he's got the look, he's got the, you know, he definitely has it, but to say he's put it together for so long, for the last 15 years, is ridiculous, man. No, he wrestles the way he wants to. He gives it 100% when he wants to, and that's the thing. And maybe you could tell me that he's good, that he can put the motor on cruise control, but he's been putting it in cruise control for 10 years. And now when Edge comes back, okay, now we're going to get this, and now we're going to get, you know, now we're going to get these great promos, these great – Give me a break.
What gets me more annoyed than anything, Jeff, is the mere fact that the rumors are going out there and the scenario that they want the strap on Randy Orton so that when Edge comes back, they can have a third match. Again, what you think about three matches or rubber matches, which was the example we're talking about, what was going on with Jeff Hardy and Sheamus, they're probably going to get a rubber match, unfortunately. The storyline is going to continue before it becomes to an end. Is the mere fact that if you're going to take the title off of Drew McIntyre for that particular reason, again, and he's a Raw guy, and we're covering SmackDown here, but that's the thing. Drew McIntyre, through no fault of his own, defeated Brock Lesnar. Let's look at his list of challengers that he's had. His last one, Dolph Ziggler. Nothing against Dolph Ziggler, but come on, seriously. The way they have booked him and used him in the WWE is laughable. It's jokeable in terms of the stipulations that were done in Extreme Rules. The mere fact that all the stipulations had to be done in order for Ziggler to have a chance at Drew McIntyre. His feud with Seth Rollins. The scenario with Bobby Lashley. I'm like, come on, can you give him more? And so when he has the opportunity to possibly face a guy like Randy Orton, you're going to put Randy Orton over him? Isn't the mere fact this to build the future? Isn't Drew McIntyre supposed to be the future of this company? And now you're going to put Randy Orton over him? Because wouldn't it mean more if Drew McIntyre defeated Randy Orton? A feather in the cap in Drew McIntyre's belt.
That's the
wouldn't
win
that be more credible?
That's the win that he needs to stamp himself as. Yes. That. Or go get on the phone and call John Cena and say, hey, listen, I need you to do me a favor here. I need to get Drew McIntyre over. Because they did the same thing to Roman Reigns where they got Cena to put
And that didn't work very well, but Roman Reigns did it.
That's fine. But they need that stamp. I mean, Seth Rollins, to me, was the most legitimate guy that he's beaten. That's fine. But Lashley, it's horrible, man. It's like those WrestleMania curses because you go with that champion. He definitely deserved a run with it. But it's like, oh, man, it just falls flat after WrestleMania. It happens, like, almost all the time when you go with that face because you know what the problem is? Because you don't have that next guy that you like. Oh no, you don't. Like you want to bring back those vets, whatever, like that. And here's the thing, I'm the one that's being a hypocrite right now because I'm saying bring back John Cena, right? Because he's a part timer right now. He's a part timer because they don't have anybody else that's compelling. Now, whether it's a COVID situation, whether it's, you know, unfortunate times have happened where you can't get everybody together, but man, there's just like no viable guy. Like Kevin Owens, I would say, hey, Kevin Owens had a win over Seth Rollins. Why not get Seth Rollins? Or why not get Kevin Owens versus a Drew McIntyre? I know we're doing too much Raw here.
But at the end of the day, a Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre potential feud, having Drew defeat Randy Orton would be so amazing for Drew McIntyre to give him even more momentum and launch him to that higher sphere as a top face of this company. Yeah. And the mere fact that they're having ideas that they want to put the title on Randy Orton for him and Edge to face each other. It goes back again to the example we're talking about, guys, about Jeff Hardy and Sheamus rubber matches. It seems the WWE is infatuated with rubber matches, and that's a potential one that might happen down the road. And with this one right here, I mean, we've talked about it before. Early on, the storyline was intriguing. It was personal. We kind of enjoyed it because there's something different between Jeff and Sheamus. But now it's been stretched out way too far, I feel. It's getting to the point where it's being force-fed down our throat. And you know, I think we have a good idea of how the crew and the people listening to the show think that They're kind of done with the storyline. They're kind of tired of it. They want to kind of move on to something different because, you know, it's just kind of being force-fed the same thing over and over again. And right now, a lot of people, I feel, are regurgitating it back because it's just like, okay, we get it. He's an alcoholic. This guy's a bully. Can we move on to something else? I just feel that's the general sense of the storyline.
And again, we started here on this platform. We're not poo-pooing on SmackDown, right? Yeah. But when it's a snooze fest like it was, let's be honest. The only good thing about this was seeing Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross fight because that was a good match.
And then the
Fatal 4-Way match is really good, right? Yeah. But other than that, man, like, come on now. Like, really, like, I'm sorry. Like, if Tony Nese had done something, maybe I would pay more than 5 seconds to Tony Nese, but he was just the guy there that Matt Riddle could beat. It's plain and simple. And now there's a bounty on him and stuff like that. Fine. That's great. Whatever.
Well, not Tony Nissan, though.
No, there's on Matt Riddle. Yeah, it's a King's Ransom, which Michael Ransom. Cole had to emphasize 100 times to Corey Graves. It wasn't a bounty. It's a King's Ransom because they got to get that in there. They got to brainwash you, the wrestling fans, to think now it's a bounty, which, you know, King's Ransom, which it's a bounty. It's not a King's Ransom. They're not the same. It doesn't mean the same thing, Michael Cole.
No, but I think they're also trying to emphasize the fact because he is King Corbin. He is the king of the ring, so we have to continually use those types of verbiage in terms of my kingdom and my fellow subjects because that's what you do when you're the king of the ring.
Ah, man. And I know, listen, no, nothing towards...
It was one of those episodes.
It was one of those episodes where...
I can't apologize for it. It's one of those episodes, it was a little fresher. It was a little tough to watch. I said in the beginning of the episode, this was a tough one. It really was.
And then again, I'm like that fan that's like reading reports. You don't know if they're real or not. You don't. I get it. But when you read something like they want to give... And mind you, you don't know if Edge is going to be 100% by Mania.
Mm-hmm.
You don't. You really don't know. So then you're going to have Randy Orton toil for the next month or whatever, half a year before you get to... It's ridiculous. So, Trendsetter, another great episode. Hopefully next week, SmackDown, we can keep it SmackDown, whatever. Like, I could get into so many of the topics, whatever, like that.
Yeah,
but, you know, we gotta enjoy this summer. You can listen to other shows here on the Unofficial WWE Podcast. You know, our boy Matt does the Raw Reviews, Wrestling Nostalgia, Saturday Night Weekend Review with such great talent, like Mary Grader, Ashley Mann, Anthony DeMarco, AEW Reviews. I wonder who does that. Oh, that's us.
Bunch of sexy beasts.
We do the AEW recap show and then the NXT review by Zachary Smith, who does a great job talking about NXT. It'd be interesting what he thinks about the whole Adam Cole Pat McAfee situation. I think it's a work, but you never know. And again, we are the Jersey Reagan Crew. I am Jeff Martin alongside the Trendsetter. You can follow us on all our social media, High Spot Podcast. Go to our YouTube, subscribe, High Spot Podcast. You got great video interviews that we've done with a lot of wrestlers, and you've seen the Trendsetter show, Adventures of the Trendsetter. So many great things for you guys there. We will be back. The High Spot Podcast returns next week, so be on the lookout for that. Follow us on our social media, at High Spot Podcast. We'll give you 3 seconds to do that. One, two, three. There you go. And Trendsetter, man, another great show, man. Got to vent a lot, and I hope I'm going to get bombarded with people telling me that Randy Orton is the bee's knees. I know it.
Yeah.
People have been brainwashed.
You knew that was going to happen, though, unfortunately.
I'm glad. Let's have the debate. Let's have the debate at me, at High Spot Podcast, and tell me why you guys think Randy Orton is the bee's knees, because I don't see it.
Well, guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode. We'll be back again next week, so enjoy your weekend, or we are the Jersey Dragon Crew. And you guys have been listening to the HSP SmackDown Review. Thank you guys so much. And remember, if you haven't figured out by now, then you never will. We do this for one reason and one reason only. We do this for you,
the crew.
Wash your hands.
Wear a mask when you need to.
But wash your hands.
Definitely wash those hands.